Welcome to the Orgasmic Lifestyle Podcast by Venus O'Hara. I'm here to welcome you into the world of orgasmic living by hosting experts to discuss orgasmic topics such as nutrition, spirituality, personal development, sexuality, and much more. Here, we will offer lifestyle lessons that can help you lead a fulfilling, joyous, and orgasmic lifestyle. I'm your guide, Venus O'Hara. Welcome to episode 72 of the Orgasmic Lifestyle Podcast with Venus O'Hara. In this first quarter moon episode, we'll be discussing midlife, sexual liberation, and diversity. We'll be speaking with Adrienne Hollister, a sexpert and host of the podcast Midlife Craving. I also review the series Super Sex, a series on Netflix that is inspired by the life of international porn star Rocco Siffredi. The episode ends with a guided meditation with affirmations for celebrating sexual liberation and diversity. But first, let me share with you my opinion and experience with midlife sexual liberation. I had such a great time speaking to today's guest. She is also in the world of sex toys, so it's nice to compare and contrast different preferences with sex toys and also discuss different working methods and about how we use our toys. And that is all to come. But I wanted to talk about female sexual liberation at the midlife time of life. And I wanted to share a bit about my own experience and that contrast a little bit with the experience of our guest today. I have many friends who have been married, they've had kids, and then when it gets to midlife, they've had a divorce, and that's been an incredibly, although painful, but also a liberating experience for them, an experience that's taken them to discover their sexuality in ways that they'd never imagined. Because sometimes people could think when once they get married and they have kids that that part of life can be over. And I find that quite fascinating, especially since I have not really signed up for conventional life, whereas some people do sign up for that, the conventional life of getting married, having children, having a mortgage, etc. And then things kind of don't work out in that way. And then life can take you by with some very big surprises, and then you're in situations that you never imagined. This reminds me of the show called First Dates. I think it's an international format, and the UK format is really quite fascinating to me. It takes people who are apparently well-matched, from what I can understand, and they go for dinner in a restaurant, and then we watch them have dinner and the conversations that they have. I always find the older couples more interesting because of their life stories and how much they have learned, and also how life didn't turn out how they expected, and I find that incredibly interesting. The younger ones are not that interesting. It's more about the physique and, you know, do we find each other physically attractive? Whereas that's something I think about my own midlife development and growth. I don't think about, you know, I've not been married, I've not had children, but I have been growing in other ways where, you know, life or the focus of sexuality has definitely shifted over the years. And that's something that another guest of mine, a future guest, was discussing as well. In his sexuality, about when he was young, it was all about the physique, and then it got to the mind, and then now at a midlife stage, it's all about the heart. And I do find that to be true for myself, but in my own solo exploration, I have found sex toys to be incredibly liberating, and I think today's guest would definitely agree with that. I was concerned about my own toxic patterns when I was younger, because I've always had a very, very, very high libido, and I was afraid of my libido, to be honest. I never thought that true liberation was promiscuity. It never sat comfortably with me. That's my own interpretation. Of course, you have to live your sexuality in a way that feels comfortable for you. And I'm not saying that is right or wrong, but I know what feels right and wrong for me personally. And also, if I had experiences or times in my life where I would be what people would call promiscuous, I was never looking to be promiscuous. I was looking for someone to repeat. And I think that's a big difference between, you know, some people who actually go out there and they just want to have lots of different bodies. I was looking for something to repeat and get deeper with always, even in my younger years. But then I got into a situation where I was with a guy who, we had sex, it was amazing, did it again and again and again. And it got to a point where I was emotionally attached to him, and I didn't really want to be emotionally attached to him. And I was frustrated at myself. I just couldn't just walk away from this situation that from which I'd become dependent upon. It was very, very frustrating. And also when we had arguments, they tended to be very toxic. Of course, conflict is a normal part of any relationship, but these particular arguments were next level. And then the toxicity of those arguments meant that the makeup sex was just explosive. So it was a very vicious cycle of makeup sex and then this dependence. And I thought to myself, I must break this pattern because it's been going on for far too long now in my life. That's when sex toys came into my life. And that really helped me to become self-sufficient. I call it my orgasmic independence. And once I had made, I was able to enjoy experiences with myself, that really liberated me, not just sexually, but actually emotionally, which is the most interesting part. That meant that I was able to cope without having sex for a very long time and then just make better decisions and be with people because I genuinely wanted to be with them on something that went beyond the physical, because just to be with someone for physical reasons, I never felt that was very gratifying on other levels. I've always wanted something more, something deeper. And then, so sex toys have been a very big part of my sexuality. And I would not say that they replace people. I think they replace bad sex, which is actually a good thing. And also they can add a little fun layer to couple sex as well, if you're open to that. For me personally, I'm not really into that because I think, you know, that's my job. A lot of the time I'm reviewing sex toys every week. I'm also have spent many years designing as well. Sometimes I have to do tests for toys when I'm not exactly feeling horny, but there are deadlines. So that's not something I bring into my bedroom. In fact, in my bedroom, I don't even have any sex toys at all. I have 800 in my spare room, but zero in my bedroom. So because I really do long for a more human, a skin-to-skin, emotional, spiritual encounter with someone else. And also that's something that's more heartfelt and something that's much more emotional. I definitely crave the emotional connection that can be felt during a sexual encounter. And also this is this way of thinking has come about also from my spiritual awakening. I started to see sexuality as something very I always felt that it was something, there was something divine and cosmic about it. I just didn't have the vocabulary or the understanding of it. But now that I do, that's something that I really crave. And when I'm reading books about sacred sexuality, that's what turns me on the most, to actually explore someone with depth. And that's something I think that really blends well with midlife, because you've had all the marathon sex, the sprint sex, and then now it's into a time where it's about soul sex. That is my own experience anyway. And I think changing it up and not just focusing on frenetic penetration and just really getting into the realm of sacred sex is very enticing for as we get older as well. And also just focus on caresses and feeling and just soul connections. And this is much more compatible with the aging process anyway. Doesn't mean it's less interesting at all. It's actually, for me, I think with different ages in life, there are different interests. So that's my own interpretation of midlife sex. Not the same for everyone. I know some people might have gone the opposite way and they've, you know, had the domesticity for many years and they kind of go wild in midlife. I have many examples of friends who have taken that path around me as well, although that's not mine. But I think what's interesting about midlife is that there are less personal hang-ups about sex. I think it's all about just really enjoying the moment more and and making the most of it. So that's my monologue for today. And let's speak to today's guest, who will tell us a lot more. Do you want to upgrade your life? If so, check out my free meditation, my Life Upgrade Meditation. This meditation is very powerful. It contains 100 very powerful affirmations that correspond to the 12 areas of life from the Wheel of Life. And those areas include things like money, professional career, friends, family, relationships, sexuality, personal development, contribution to society, home environment, and much more. If you're curious about this very powerful transformative meditation, then check out the link in the show notes. And if you haven't got the show notes at hand, then the link is bit.ly/life, capital L-I-F-E, hyphen, capital U, P-G-R-A-D-E, upgrade, hyphen, meditation with a capital M. The link is also in the show notes. So if you would like to upgrade your life, check out my free life upgrade meditation. Now it's time for this episode's interview. We'll be speaking with Adrian Hollister, a sexpert and host of the podcast Midlife Craving. Adrian Hollister, welcome to the Orgasmic Lifestyle Podcast, where every day is a climax. Thank you so much for taking part in this interview today. And I'm very happy to have you.
I like that. You too. Thank you for having me, Venus. It's so nice to meet you.
Likewise. So for those who are unfamiliar with your work, could you tell us what you do?
Sure. So I am host of two podcasts. The first is Midlife Craving that I started back in December 2020. Mm-hmm. And now I am the host of Toy Stories, along with my partner, Tracy Dog, my favorite sex toy maker. And I'm just out here, you know, sharing my journey, my sexual positive journey, and also, you know, helping others build their confidence in the bedroom. I'm famous for my Just the Tip segment and just really motivating everyone to live their best and most authentic life, because at this midlife phase, you start to realize, am I really living the way I want to? And I'm just out here promoting that and sharing my journey as I'm out here doing all the things that I crave.
Yeah, I'm getting really into midlife at the moment. I seem to be attracting a lot of guests who are experts in midlife. I've interviewed Jonathan Astley, who's a midlife dating coach. So that's kind of interesting. I'm giving tips about men to women who are just confused, which is interesting.
Yeah.
And I've got another woman who's a midlife marriage coach who's kind of preventing divorce, and then some diet tips as well. So it kind of seems to be a thing that's coming into the sphere of this podcast. So what inspired you to follow this path in the first place of being a podcaster?
You know, my biggest motivation was to let others know in this midlife phase that it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not have it all figured out. And it's truly okay to start over and really start authentically living your life. I am a very sexually, for me, it's a sex thing. I'm very liberated sexually, and I haven't been for most of my life in fear of shame and criticism. And I just was openly sharing my journey about it because, again, this is it. This is not a dress rehearsal. And I just want to live the very best life that I can. I don't want to have any regrets later.
Great. So I can empathize with that. I can resonate with that. I never listen to podcasts myself either. I listen to my one just when it's
so funny.
The editing's okay. But that's about it, really. But it's becoming very, very popular. And the great thing about podcasts is that no one knows what you're listening to, especially if it's something with sexual content. You could be, you know, on public transport or something like that. So how was this journey of sharing your own life to the public? I mean, that's quite a big deal. So how was that for you?
This is a big question for me right now. It has not always been easy, but I will tell you that my purpose and what I really love is when someone reaches out to me and they say, oh my gosh, like, you've changed our sex life, or you've really helped me and my husband in our relationship. It is not easy being out here in the open and going against societal norms, but it's worth it because you make a positive impact. And for every, you know, criticism or judgment or shame or hate that I get, there's 100 that are appreciative and really motivating me and encouraging me and cheering me on. And so it is not easy. And one of the things I do want to say is this podcast completely changed my life in almost every single way. I found my tribe. I found the lifestyle and have really been enjoying exploring and evolving in that world. And I don't know, my confidence has soared. It's been so many blessings and so many positives, but it is difficult. And I'm still out here trying to just stand up for myself and let people know I'm not ashamed and it's okay. And sometimes I like to consider source people that have issues with, you know, me sharing my life and the things that I do. You know, I like to say, take a look inside. I hope you feel better. Mm-hmm. But no, it's really hard to be out here. Really, it is difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely understand that. For me, it's been 15 years this year, actually. And at first, it was kind of hard. But I mean, I think I see it as every negative comment is actually a sign of success. You have to see it that way. Because if you want to get really big, there's going to be a lot more of that. And just, you know, once you
True.
Can bring that, develop that resilience, mm-hmm. which is really important. And also, I think there's an expression, we see things as we are, not as they are. So when someone's triggered by your content, it's mm-hmm. definitely something within them. But I don't know about you, but I mean, for me, what hurts most is when people who know me and my struggle, like on a personal level, when they criticize me, that's what hurts. I don't really care about someone who doesn't know me. How do you feel about that? Is that something that rings true for you?
Venus, I relate so much to that. Yes. Over the last 3 years. But I also feel too that it kind of did me a favor. You know what I mean?
Good filter.
I've talked about frenemies. I've talked about frenemies and people that were just negatively impacting my life. And I'm like, so it's done me some favors, but I will tell you, you know, developing the thick skin for people online is one thing. When it starts to impact your real life, that's tough. And I've shared a lot about that on my show and on social media, you know, the slut shaming, the criticism, you know, it's impacted. I'm a single mother. And, you know, that's what else is hard is people see me as this like sex podcaster, but my life is so much more than that. You know, my podcast and my social media, it's a highlight reel, just like everyone else's. And, you know, I'm a mother first and I'm a daughter and a friend. And I think that's one of the things I like to talk about is how, you know, I may be slutty, but I'm ethical about it. And I demand respect, you know. But yeah, when it impacts your real life. And like I said, I've lost some friends along the way. It's tough, but I do want to give a shout out to my family and my closest friends who support and love me like none other, especially my closest family members, because they get some negative impact too. It's affected their lives and they do nothing but love and encourage and support me. And in today's world, I appreciate that very, very much. So how about you? Like, do you have support? Did you feel like you had the same journey where you found out really quick who your real friends were?
Yeah. And for me, because it's been a kind of longer periods of time as well. I think there've been a lot of people along the way that I thought were on board and they've shown me that they weren't. And that's really hard, you know, because I'm quite a confidant. Maybe you are too, that you inspire trust in people. And they open up. And then when I've tried to do the same, I've found that I haven't had the same level of understanding, which is really hard. And I have had to. It is a filter, and a lot of friends who haven't been supportive of me have just gone. And I'm kind of glad now, you know, because I know that ones who are worthy are around me. But what I was going to ask you the next is, how does this affect dating? Because I know that sometimes, I mean, I have a spare room with 800 sex toys because I've been a sex toy reviewer and designer for 10 years. So this is kind of hard. You got to be careful where you sit in my house. I mean, it's just toys
everywhere.
It's
like looking in the mirror. I'm actually staring at acrylic shelves that are lining in my studio, just full of sex toys as well. I'm the same way. I love that you asked me this because this is something I've been now. It's become a reality in my life. So I've been single for almost 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And I've been in the lifestyle, thoroughly enjoying it. Okay. Living my very best life. And it's been great. But I'm at the point now where I've done a lot of healing. I've had a lot of experiences. And I am looking for a primary partner. And I would love to learn from you because I'm struggling and I don't know what to do because it's like, Venus, do I tell them who I am right away, which is how I feel I should be. And I'm a very what you see is what you get kind of gal. But the issue is these men are terrified of me. And I've literally seen it happen in slow motion. You know, his face turns white and he's like, it's sorry, do you what? And I can see sense partner, someone that really is into me and is meant for me. They are going to love the very thing that I love most about myself, and they will not be intimidated. They will be confident. They will be open to learn and open to explore with me. But it is rough. And for everyone that thinks, oh my gosh, I would, you know, a lot of men say to me, where can I find a gal like you? Or, you know, I want a woman confident and has the sex drive that you do. And you would be surprised at how many men truly are just
Intimidating.
flabbergasted by it and are very intimidated. So how do you, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing.
Okay, so
I need help.
my advice from not an expert on this is, I remember years ago, I used to meet a friend every Friday for confessions. We used to confide in each other about our dating lives. And at the time, I used to be very popular in Spanish media because I live in Spain. I'm British, but I live in Spain. So I was writing books and I was doing radio. And there was a guy, I used to kind of attract men who were also in the media space so that they weren't shocked by what I did at all. But there was one guy who, let's just say he wasn't the right guy for me because he was in a polyamorous relationship marriage. And that's just, I'm not really polyamorous. I wanted someone who's going to be just for me kind of thing. And I was explaining this to a guy that I was a friend with. And he said, and I said to him, well, not many guys are going to be okay with a sex toy reviewer or what have you. And he said, maybe you shouldn't tell people what you do. And I thought that was an insult because he said, as if I was had a terminal disease, or like, let's wait till date number five. Let me tell you a secret. I mean, I don't see what I do as very bad. And I just, from that point on, this friend was eliminated from my life because I thought I cannot have someone in my life who sees me in that way. And I think you really have to have faith that someone's going to see you for who you are. And it's only one person. It doesn't matter about the people who judge you. That's helping you get closer to the real one. And also you must know that there are many sexual wellness content creators out there who do have supportive partners. So it does exist. So there's no reason why it shouldn't. And also when you do find someone, it's going to make your content like go on a whole new level. That's just something really nice to look forward to, I think. So I think and also it's just, I think it's really important to kind of show all sides of you and not just the sex side, because there's also I have a holistic, maybe holistic approach. That's kind of what I'm working on. And I give lots of workshops as well, so people get to know me on a personal level. And so yeah, I think it's about having faith. And also, because I think for myself, I was blocking myself because I was thinking I wasn't worthy. I was kind of doing this service for others at the expense of my own personal life. And I have to say, no, my personal life is important as well. So I have to kind of stop being a workaholic and really focus on that and get out there and mix with people who have the similar interests to me and just hope for the best. And it's kind of worked out. So that's my just to have faith. And maybe this time, if it's as it was said, you just come out of a divorce as well. Maybe it's just time to find yourself and then you'll be more ready. But don't hold back. Definitely not.
That's what I'm thinking too. Because a lot of friends have said to me, like my friends in the lifestyle, they're like, Adrian, just have a few dates and then tell them later. And I'm like, yeah, but that
No.
doesn't feel genuine to me. I don't want to blindside them with this, you know, unique life that I live. And it is unconventional. But I agree. There are many different facets of my life. And I'm not just the sex podcaster that you see online. And so should lead more with that. And I got divorced in 2017. I got out of a long-term relationship in early 2021, and I've been single since. And I'm just really, I think I'm very healthy and healed and in a place where I am ready to open up to a primary partner. And I'm out there. It is not easy, but I'm just gonna moving forward, like you said, have the faith
So when you
for
say the
sure.
lifestyle, what do you actually mean? Because just for those who are unfamiliar with these terms, you're living the lifestyle. What does that exactly mean? Oh no, is someone drilling? That's not a very good
Yeah, sorry.
What does it mean that the lifestyle you?
I can't think anything.
Oh no. I just broken up there. You've frozen.
I've been a unicorn in the lifestyle. With mostly them for the last 2 years.
I'm sorry. It just broke up then when you said that. What was it? Can you
Oh,
repeat
sorry.
that?
Which part?
I just asked the lifestyle and it kind of went, and now I've
Oh,
got some
sorry.
feeling. Oh no. I'm so bad.
I can't hear that, so that's good. But
Okay.
the lifestyle is individuals that are in ethically non-monogamous relationships, open relationships. And I'm a unicorn in the lifestyle, meaning I'm a single female. And I'm with a fabulous group of about 70 people. And we do a lot of vanilla events, a lot of hanging out, going to concerts, happy hours, meet and greets. And then we also have playtime and play parties and stuff like that. So I've been in the ENM, ethically non-monogamous world, for 2 years now.
And where do you live?
I live in Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay, is that kind of easy to find to meet people who are on your wavelength? Do you
It
think?
is. And it's the DMV, so DC, Maryland, and Virginia. It's a very highly populated place, a lot of very open, sexually open individuals. And so I'm very lucky and I'm extremely spoiled by a fantastic group. And
Amazing.
yeah, we have clubs. We have, the city is full of a lot of good energy and good vibes.
That sounds promising. It sounds like it's just a question of time then, and yeah, so it's until you find what you're looking for. Because
Yeah.
it can be a big thing, you know, a location can influence that a lot.
Yeah, no. It's also just getting the time to put myself out there a little bit too. I have not been ready. I've just been immersed in the lifestyle and enjoying it, very much so. And like I said, I was doing my healing and just taking a lot of time for myself, but I'm ready for that primary partner. I really am. So I'm out here. I'm looking.
Yeah, I love affirmations personally. So that might be something to work with, some affirmations.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. So talking about sex toys, what's your favorite sex toy?
I would say if I had to pick one sex toy that I absolutely love, I'm a big fan of a bullet vibrator.
Okay.
To me, it's just like an old faithful, but my favorite toy right now, because I kind of go through a lot of them and I have a favorite every now and again, is called PCAT on tracysdog.com. It's like a clip pulser, and there's this magical sixth setting. It's like the pulse is like bump, 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 bump. And what it does, Venus, is it like edges you. And I have this incredible buildup edging. I call it like the stepladder orgasm, the pyramid orgasm. And she's always charged. That's how you know a favorite toy, and she's never dead. But
Oh,
I
wow.
do love it. I do love a bullet vibrator. I do, especially with partners. I like to use toys with partners. I would love to know what your favorite toys and what you're into too.
Well, with Tracy's dog, actually, my only t situations of squirting happened with their toys. One with one called Ducky, which was very
Oh,
weird. It was like
yes.
surprised me big time. And then that was a few years ago. And then more recently, the OG Flow, which I absolutely love. That is
Okay, I have a tip.
amazing. Oh,
I
yeah,
have a
tell
tip
us.
for you for
Okay.
her. Okay, I love her too. I love how soft she is. And also, like, there's something about the oval where your
Oh,
clit
yeah.
goes. It's just, and I love how she is bendable and she fits to every body because I feel like that's a big deal.
Absolutely.
But my favorite thing to do, Venus, is to wear her and like sit on her while I'm working.
Oh,
Like
wow, it's a
when I'm
grinder.
editing my, yes, like I'm editing my podcasts or, just doing some social media work down here in the studio. I'm a big fan of riding her. Unlike the OG, clit sucker, it's not as comfortable, but Flo is so soft. She's very easy to, and I'm actually thinking about taking it and trying it as a public toy. I think I would have to wear it with a skirt or a dress, but I highly recommend riding it.
Wow, that's
I love
interesting.
that toy.
That's something I love about sharing with other professionals is just to get these tips that you don't usually find. Because I mean, that's one part of our job is just to discover new ways of trying toys, not just the way that is suggested, you know? That's the part.
Yeah, I love that.
And
I've always loved sex toys.
I love the new one as well. What was it called? The Flow Lipper. I tried that recently.
Flo Leaper, yeah, and I'm very brutally honest with, the toys that I talk about and the reviews that I do over on Toy Stories podcast. I'm still feeling like there's a little bit of a learning curve with that toy for me. There's so many settings, and
Oh,
it's
yeah,
one of
that's
the things I was
confusing.
telling them. Yeah, and I was like, whoa, 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 don't change, don't stop. And then it would like move, and I'm like, no, don't go to a different, pulse. But So I'm still learning that toy, but did you get OG3 yet?
Oh
That's
my
out.
God. That's incredible.
That G-spot, that the power, I had my very first G-spot orgasm. I've never
Yeah.
had one before. And I had my very first with that toy.
Oh,
I
it's
love it.
amazing. Yeah, it's
It
really good.
is. Yes. Powerful.
But for those who don't know this toy, shall we describe it? Do you want to describe it? The OG3?
Sure. So, Tracy's dog has their OG family. And I feel like I met Tracy's dog by experiencing their OG sucking vibe. It's like, it was my first, I would say, complex toy where you have multiple buttons, G-spot simulator, clit sucker. And to me, these toys are true clit suckers, the original OG Flow. And then OG3 is, God, there's so much to it. I don't know about you, but I don't feel like it's a clit sucker or a clit pulser. I feel like it's more of a clit vibrator. Like the clit area more vibrates. It's not sucking or pulsing air like the other two. So that's been unique. But this toy has, it's two parts. And so it has like the head of the toy for the clit area. Like I said, it's like the vibration. There's different patterns. I'm still getting to know that part. But the G-spot stimulator, you can actually take apart and remove it from the clit portion. And I don't know what it is or how that toy is working, but the intensity of that G-spot stimulator is, it's very, 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 very powerful. And like I said, I had my very first G-spot orgasm with it. And so it's a unique toy. I'm still getting to know it, but it has that, clit vibration and then the G-spot stimulation all in one. And I love it because you could take it apart and use it with multiple partners. It's a two-in-one toy,
I've only
So
used
I'm still
it
getting to know
separate
it.
components. I've never used it together. Have you? Have you used but with both
Yes, that's how
components?
I did. That's how I experienced my first G-spot orgasm. And then I have been using just the G-spot part, I'm not gonna lie, with my P-Cat, which is my favorite toy they have. And
Wow.
I love a dual toy. I really enjoy taking the time to play with myself. I cherish that time actually. And I'm always trying different toys. What toys do I like best? And I like that combination of using the G-spot stimulator portion from OG3 and then the P-Cat, which is like that pulsing for my clit. So I've been enjoying that.
Have you always been into sex toys, or is it a kind of a recent discovery?
I always have, for sure. But like I said, Venus, I was very ashamed and I lived, I did not express myself freely just because of criticism I've had in relationships in the past. For instance, my ex-boyfriend, I really wanted to explore and try a sex swing. And he was like, "You're gross. That's disgusting." And I was like, "Really? I don't think that that is." And it was just, it's just really tough when someone's putting you down about wanting to explore or try new things. And so I would use toys in secret, honestly. I would keep my little buzz box hidden away and break it out. I remember one time he caught me. He left and to run an errand, and he came back, and I had nowhere to go. I was just like, "Oh my God!" And my vibrator, I had like a wand vibrator, which was very loud. And he was like, "What are you doing?" And I was like, "Well, somebody's got to come around here." And like, I have to do this. I like to say I like to have my day start off being caffeinated and masturbated. Without that, I'll be a raging beast. And so I was hiding it for many, many years. But once I got out of that relationship, I swear I pretty much got every toy on the market and was just enjoying myself thoroughly. But I've always been a sex toy girl. I was introduced to them way back in the day. Like, my goodness, I think I was 18 and I went to my 17 maybe, and I went to my very first. Remember, there were sex toy parties. Like, there was no online shopping. So like, your friend would host a party and you would pass around a double-ended dildo. And I got my very first bullet vibrator, and I was sold from that day forward.
Wow. So this sneaking to masturbate, does that make it more exciting, knowing you have to rush?
It does sometimes. I like to, I'm a single mother, and it was funny because I had a guest in here last night, and I was like, "This is kind of like my masturbation room." I do feel like I am always trying to get my adult time out or sneak away. Not with my partners. I do not hold back anything with partners anymore. But there is something exciting about hiding it and being quiet sometimes. But yeah, it's true.
Because I live alone, so for me, things like discretion and noise is not really an issue. Is that something that's important for you?
When I have my daughter in the house, absolutely. Or when I live alone as well. But yeah, it's tough when you have kids in the house, you know. And, you know, people shame me for this and they're like, you shouldn't be. But like, you know, I need to have my adult time out. I need to have my time too. And so I'm in a padded room, a secure room. You know, she's far away and I'm quiet down here doing my thing. And there's no judgment with that, by the way. I think a lot of people do it and they hide it in secrecy. And we don't have to. It's a very natural thing. Being sexual, having orgasms, it's an incredible release, stress reliever, and there's nothing to be ashamed about. It's very natural and normal. And I truly feel like if the world would just have more orgasms, it would be a much better place.
I agree.
I always
Absolutely.
tell people, just get fucked. You'll be much better.
Definitely, definitely. I agree. So, what do you think is the best way to build confidence in the bedroom? I mean, for people who've got,
So,
say, for midlife especially, because that's a really interesting time when people have, you know, heartbreak baggage, and then it could be quite a new experience to get back on the market after.
my biggest tip for building confidence in the bedroom is to play with yourself. Explore and take a lot of time getting to know your body, what you like, what makes you climax. How are you going to tell your lover or your partner what you're into if you don't even know yourself? And so I highly recommend taking the time. And I also love to tell my friends, let's try mirror play by ourselves. Find out about your body. And I don't know about you, but I'm extremely turned on while watching myself fuck myself. And I feel like people underestimate the power of that and really just getting to know your body. There's different parts of your clit that might, you know, you might like more or different types of penetration or learning how to squirt by yourself. That's where I learned for the first time. And yeah, truly exploring with yourself. Also, open up that communication with your partner. Like, really, just talk about it, you know, and don't be afraid to share how you're feeling or what you want to try. I like to promote having a to-do list with your partner. I call it my fantasy list. But and you could start small. You could say, hey, today I want to try this, you know, little dice sex game, or today I want to try only doing oral, or how about mutual masturbation? Like, there's so many different ways to explore. And I'm also a big fan of complimenting your partner complimenting you, and just opening the dialogue of, hey, I really loved the way you were fucking me from behind last night. It was so hot. Or I loved that noise you made, or the face that I saw when I was looking up at you giving a blowjob, whatever. Just it boosts the confidence in your partner and yourself because you're making them feel so good. So lots of ways.
I think complimenting is an amazing tip, actually. I totally agree with that because it's especially it's such a vulnerable space for so many people, and they're thinking, do I look okay? Or, you know, so it's a really good tip to make someone feel more at ease. And over the years, I've had so many people say to me, I don't know how to express my fetish just to my partner. And sometimes it's a great tip about starting small, so you don't shock someone with some kind of hardcore fantasy.
Right. So my kink is breath play, and I dabble into the world of asphyxiation with very trusted partners. That takes a lot, you know. But I could say something like, hey, I like the feeling of being pinned down, or I like it a little rougher, like starting very small like that. I'm not going to tell some guy, hey, I want you to choke me. You know, it takes some building up to that. And also, pro tip, when you're choking, you should be pressing the sides of the neck, not the front. I mean,
Definitely.
but yeah, I'd agree. And starting small. And one of the things that I did is I created the sex match game that I really love. And it's on my website, midlifecraving.com. And you just print it out. And then I have a PG version, which is like, you know, let's open things up. And then I have like a rated R version. I'm actually making a girl on girl version because I'm going to my very first all girl sleepover next month. And just something simple like that. Print it out, cut the pages, and just start flipping the cards. And it's simple stuff like spank me or kiss me or, you know, kiss me on my neck. Stuff like that. Easy stuff. Give me a hug. Like, it can start small.
Something that's really worked for me over the years has been when I've had to test board games, those erotic board games, because it's amazing because you're following someone else's script almost rather than trying to come up with things yourself. That's why cards can be a great
Right.
thing.
Takes the pressure off. Yep. And
Definitely.
then what I really love too is like how you have to blame or applaud the third person. So you'll say, it says to lick my clit. You know, like you got to do it. It says.
Amazing. Just produces some loss of playfulness, which is really a good tool to have in the bedroom, being
Yeah,
playful.
I think a lot of people forget it's about the journey, not the destination. Of course, we all want to have an orgasm, but really, sex to me is about the journey and taking my time, trying lots of different things and having fun along the way. By the way, I giggle in bed and I high five at the end sometimes. I'm like, fuck yeah, that was awesome. Have fun with it. It's okay to be free. I think people, and I'm not shaming anyone who does that, but it doesn't have to be this routine. And I've been stuck in a rut myself in the bedroom with partners before. And I actually said to my ex-boyfriend, I was like, hey, no more sex in the bedroom. You can fuck me anywhere but the bedroom. Like, I'm so bored with the make out a little bit, suck your dick a little bit, and then he finish you on top. It just, the repetitiveness gets boring. I don't like a routine. And so I told him, I said, you can fuck me anywhere, not in the room anymore. And that really helped change things up,
Definitely varieties, especially in a long-term relationship, you need some variety.
Yes, absolutely.
I think a lot of people go back to what works a lot. That's kind of, even with masturbation, something I learned recently, or not so recently, it's just, usually I get a toy and it's like toy to clit and that's it. But I did some guided masturbations where you have to kind of like caress yourself more and then just kind of really build up and you're like, wow, I should do this more often. It was kind of a really nice to have some self-seduction when you're alone.
Oh, I love that idea. I'm gonna have to try that too.
Yeah, it's really good.
Something that I've been doing is I feel like I'm always trying different things and my mind just automatically races with things. But I have a suction cup dildo and it's fun to put it on the shower wall or on the headboard or whatever. It sticks to drywall. But I found that if I stick it on like the leg of my podcast desk, that I can actually like back my legs up and then get like super deep penetration. And so,
While you're recording.
yeah. No, I don't record doing any of that. But I'm just down here doing my thing, by myself. I don't record any of that, but just different ways to try,
Great. So a couple of quick questions for you. So what are you working on at the moment?
I am really just focusing on getting as much content as I can out there. I'm really trying to grow, and I finally, 3 years later, started a YouTube channel. So I'm doing that. Yeah, so I'm introducing video. That's something that I have not really dabbled into, which I know that I need to. So I'm really just focused on growing my shows and also doing things like this, meeting other podcasters and, collaborating with other podcasters. That's something I have not done for about over a year. So I'm trying to get myself back out there and focus on that.
Cool. So, how does your YouTube channel vary from your podcast? What's different about it? Is it just the video format, or do you do more things?
So you can actually see me. And by the way, I've just posted one video. It's terrible. I'm actually getting some help to sync my microphone, my audio to my visual. But I'm doing more, I'm not editing it. So it's very real, authentic. You can see me sitting down. You can see me getting frustrated, if I'm like, wait a minute, is my mic on? Is this, and so I've decided I'm just going to be very authentic and real, not as polished as the podcast that you would listen to in your ears. And so we'll see how this goes. I also really want to explore with doing more video content where I just come and talk about things or a situation that occurred, kind of like a real-time reaction to things. Like I had sex in my car last week and I hurt my arm really bad. Like I was going to share that story on there. Little stuff like that. So I have like shorts and just very raw and real video and perhaps going live on YouTube too. I just really want to explore and grow in YouTube.
Yeah, it's a really interesting medium because I felt like I wanted to make video for such a long time, but I felt there was a block. I wasn't quite enjoying it, and so what I did, one tip that I could share with you, if you, because I do one take videos with no editing at all, but in May 2018, I did a 30-day challenge. I uploaded every single day for 30 days or 31 days, because it was in May, and then the first one was like quite wooden, but then when I got to day 24, I did a one take video. I was just so relaxed, and now to this day, I just do one take, which is a lot less work. But also, when the person watching is more relaxed, you're not having all these jump cuts. Because I mean, when you see a lot of jump cuts, you know that the real version is terrible. There's a lot of mistakes, a lot of work for someone to edit as well. So I think I would advise you strongly to do daily uploads until you're feeling it, because it's a great thing. Because then you get people watching you every day and looking forward to it at the same time, you know, publishing at the same time every day for 30 days or something.
Okay.
And that's a really cool tip. Yeah.
That is an excellent tip. And you know what? I can try that. I think that's a really good idea. Okay. Oh boy.
And then you can start sharing other things as well. Not just everyday things about how you like your coffee or what you have for breakfast, to get to know a bit more about you. So
yeah, it's true. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I got to pick a time for that challenge.
Yeah. Cause you know, when you're doing one take videos and they're so simple, it doesn't really take much time. So I've done Vlogmas every year, and that's a really good,
okay.
Not for Christmas, cause I hate Christmas, but just to kind of get up daily uploads and just get things going. And then you get people who are coming in every day expecting you, and then you're answering that question. Okay. They give you ideas. So it's really good just to.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
There's
That's
more interaction.
An excellent idea. Thank you.
Yeah. There's more interaction, I think, with that type of than a podcast, because then you get in the live chat as well when you actually publish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
All right. I'm going to take your idea. You're going to see me.
February would be good. That's 28 days. Well, I don't know if it's a leap year this year, but anyway, that's would be a good idea. The love month.
Yeah.
February.
Yeah. I know, because I'm also sitting here, I'm feeling intimidated, but I'm thinking to myself, so I'm leaving for Vegas on Friday, and I'm like, what would I do when I'm traveling? But I guess I can just use my phone.
Absolutely.
And upload that.
People love a bit of a shaky hand. Like, people love that.
Yeah.
It's more authentic. And just seeing travel vlogs are very popular.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll be.
Thank you for that.
To do. Okay. Another quick question for you. This is the question I ask every single person on my podcast. What is the book that changed your life?
Oh my goodness. I talk about this all the time. I don't read a ton of books,
okay.
but I will say I really, really enjoyed The Ethical Slut. That really taught me. And I was like, wow, somebody gets me. I feel seen, and it felt really good. So I really enjoyed The Ethical Slut. I need to read more. I really want to get into reading erotica as well. But I would say The Ethical Slut, it really helped me. I finally felt alive and free and seen for the first time, you know, in my sexuality. So that was a good one.
Can you tell us what it's about? Is it about ethical non-monogamy?
It's about just being, you know, an ethical slut from, and that could be in any way that you express your sexuality, and talking about how, you know, we do like doing slutty things, but we're ethical about it. And we do require and demand respect and consent. You know, consent is everything. And just talking about the different types of relationships that you can have and how things evolve. So it was enlightening for me, for sure.
Amazing. I've heard another friend recommend that book as well. So which phrase or affirmation or quote do you live by?
I was going to say something so inappropriate.
You can.
I'm a very big YOLO girl, like fuck it all. What do I, off the rails a little bit. That's a good question. You know, I will say this one quote that has followed me through my college years and professional life, and even in podcasting: whether you think you can or you can't, you're right.
Okay. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
And then where can people find you?
You can find me as the host of Toy Stories podcast. It's Toy Stories, STORIEZZ.com. And on Instagram, my handle there is Toy Stories _TD for Tracy's dog. Also Midlife Craving, at Midlife Craving on Instagram, midlifecraving.com. I also love sharing Just the Tip segment over on TikTok, and that's Midlife Craving Podcast. And then find me on YouTube, because I'm on there now. And you can see my 30-day challenge, and it's at Midlife Craving Podcast. So lots of different places.
Amazing. I'm looking forward to seeing your 30-day challenge.
So yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the Orgasmic Lifestyle Podcast, where every day is a climax.
Thank you for having me. It's been wonderful chatting with you.
Likewise.
Instead of a book review, today I wanted to talk about the series Super Sex on Netflix. It is the embellished story of Rocco Siffredi. It's based on his life, but embellished. So I started watching this series because I didn't find anything else that was alluring to me on Netflix. Many of my friends feel guilty about their subscriptions to Netflix and the like, thinking that it's a waste of time. But for me, I have a very different attitude. I only watch things that I think can, that are important for my job, that can be influential and things that I want to know and discover about sexuality and relationships. So this is why I wanted to watch this particular series. And I'm not very familiar with porn, as you may know. I don't watch porn. It's never appealed to me. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I find it to be pretty disturbing. I did watch another Netflix documentary about Rocco, and I found that incredibly disturbing, especially things like putting your fist in someone's mouth and girls who didn't want to do anal sex, but then they realized that they had to if they wanted to get money. I just felt like this wasn't liberating, and the rough sex as well. I mean, I'm not saying that some people can enjoy that, but I think it's dangerous when this type of rough sex is normalized to the point where it's on homepages of popular porn sites that aren't even about BDSM or violence, but just basically presenting this as a generic mainstream idea. And also, I've personally experienced these types of trends entering in my bedroom, and I didn't really agree to them. So yeah, I'm not a fan of porn at all. That said, I do love personal stories. I love memoirs. And this is a very interesting story. At first, there are flashbacks to his childhood. It's always interesting to see how someone rises, you know, from poverty, and then how they can encounter certain people who can guide them towards fame and just their and showcasing their talents. I always find that interesting. So that part was interesting. Also, it's set in Italy and a lot in Paris as well. And I loved seeing the parts of Paris because I used to live in Paris. So that's a big part. That's a place of my heart still remains there. But what I found interesting is that I do like sexuality when it's portrayed in a series, when there is character development. But this type of the sexuality that we see here, there's lots of, you know, naked bodies and sexual encounters happening, but it couldn't be more untitillating. Honestly, it's just boom, 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 bodies like bumping up and down. It's just like, I find it, it doesn't really appeal to me at all. The only part that appeals to me, well, it's a 7-part series. I think it was episode 5 when he actually falls in love. It's such a different energy. And I'm more interested in that type of energy between people. That's why I do prefer seeing sexuality as part of series or films where there is character development and emotional buildup and meaning behind between the characters. And they don't really have to be having real sex, but those, how the way they look at each other, the emotion involved, you know, that for me is a real turn on. But there's so it's interesting to see the contrast between just the bodies and then the meaningful heart space, which, you know, even though there was that component, it ended up being quite a toxic relationship. But yeah, so I'm not quite finished yet. But that's what I am watching right now. A lot of people, I was curious to see what other people were thinking of it, and people have said, you know, they thought the acting was terrible and blah blah blah. I thought it was okay, but it's entertaining for now, because once you start watching something, you can kind of get invested in the story and the characters, and that's where I'm at now. So I will finish it very soon. And the real reason why I'm reviewing a series today instead of a book is because I'm still reading Women Who Run With the Wolves. And I probably will make another segment about that, because there's just so much to unpack with that book. I just started it in the last podcast, so I was just about 50 pages in, but now I'm 200 pages in, and I'm just finding it to be absolutely mind-blowing. And it's helping me to connect with my feminine essence. So I'm really looking forward to sharing some more feedback and insights about that, maybe in the next book review or the one after, because I'm not sure I'm going to be able to finish all 500 pages in the next week, but we will see. Anyway, so that is the series I'm watching now, which is Super Sex, the story of Rocco Siffredi on Netflix. Now it's time to slow things down as we prepare for this episode's guided affirmations meditation. It's probably not a good idea to listen to this while driving or operating machinery. Instead, take a break from whatever you're doing, get comfortable, take a deep breath, and enjoy. my desires and communicate them openly. I trust my instincts to guide me towards fulfilling experiences. I respect boundaries. I celebrate my sexual diversity. I embrace my sexuality. I release shame. I honor consent in all interactions. I am deserving of pleasure in my sexual experiences. I embrace my authentic sexual self. Explore and enjoy new avenues of sexual expression. I celebrate my sexual diversity. I embrace my sexuality. I release shame. My sexuality is a natural and healthy part of who I am. I release judgment towards my body. I release shame towards my sexual desires. I am worthy of experiencing pleasure. I celebrate my sexual diversity. I embrace my sexuality. I release shame. I radiate confidence in my sexual encounters. I deserve satisfaction in all my sexual relationships. I express my sexual needs with confidence and clarity. Allow myself to explore new ways of pleasure. I celebrate my sexual diversity. I embrace my sexuality. I release shame. I am guided towards fulfilling sexual experiences. Myself to enjoy sex in the way that most satisfies me. I live my sexuality authentically and unapologetically. I embrace my true sexual self with love and acceptance. I celebrate my sexual. Do you want to upgrade your life? If so, check out my free meditation, my Life Upgrade Meditation. This meditation is very powerful. It contains 100 very powerful affirmations that correspond to the 12 areas of life from the Wheel of Life. And those areas include things like money, professional career, friends, family, relationships, sexuality, personal development, contribution to society, home environment, and much more. If you're curious about this very powerful transformative meditation, then check out the link in the show notes. And if you haven't got the show notes at hand, then the link is bit.ly/life, capital L-I-F-E, hyphen, capital U, P, G, R, A, D, E, upgrade, hyphen, meditation with a capital M. The link is also in the show notes. So if you would like to upgrade your life, check out my free Life Upgrade meditation. find out more about me and my orgasmic lifestyle, visit venusohara.org or follow me on Instagram at instagram.com/venusohara. Make sure to search for the Orgasmic Lifestyle Podcast by Venus O'Hara in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. Make sure to click subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Thanks for listening. Have an orgasmic week, and make sure every day is a climax.